Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
On tonight's episode of Speedway Soccer, Ben and I break down Nashville SC's 3-1 loss away to Charleston Battery, and we look forward to the upcoming match against Pittsburgh Riverhounds. This is Speedway Soccer Pod. Hey everybody, welcome into tonight's episode of Speedway Soccer. This is Davey Shepard. I'm here tonight with only Ben Wright. Ben, thanks for being the only other guy who can make it on this evening.
Yeah, this feels like a very exclusive club.
Yeah, it is. We would like to say we kicked the other guys out, but really they were just too busy. So that's real life. It gets to you. Again, thanks for listening. This is Speedway Soccer. We're brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Gold Press. Normally, we are recording live at Printer's Alley, but we're not there tonight. We wish we were. Check all of those places out. They will all treat you well. We're huge fans, and they help make us tick, so we're grateful for that. Ben, let's get right into it. Ultimately, a tough result, man. A 3-1 loss away. Last year, that fixture was 1-1. Actually, both of those fixtures against Charleston were 1-1 draws. I saw this game going several different ways. I didn't see it going this way. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think necessarily losing away in Charleston is a bad result. I actually think Charleston's a pretty good team, and I think they're a lot better than I had them at the beginning of the season for sure. But I feel like it was more the way that Nashville lost and just how they never really looked dangerous. And it kind of always, I mean, once Charleston scored the first goal, it kind of always felt like Charleston were going to come away with the 3 points. So I think that was the most discouraging thing for me.
Yeah, I probably would agree with that. And I mean, we were just talking about it earlier, and I thought there was a decent Nashville chance before the goal, but looking back at it, I don't think there actually was. But the first goal still kind of felt against the run of play, right? And there's only so much that can take place 14 minutes into a game, but I thought we kind of had a good handle on it there for a second.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. After that, despite the discrepancy in possession where we had 62% or whatever it was, it just never seemed like we were in it.
Yeah, I mean, and credit to Charleston, because they took their chances really well. And I think it was impressive that they scored 3 goals, because I think with those chances, most teams wouldn't get that many. I mean, so it was good finishing on their part, and then probably poor finishing on Nashville's part. And then they just, I mean, it goes back to that Gary Smith quote that we've used a bunch about possession without an end product is worthless, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. I feel like Nashville had a lot of possession, and honestly, a lot of possession in pretty good areas, but they just couldn't get any end product. I mean, they had, let me pull up the numbers. They had so many blocked shots, which I feel like, yeah, they had 5 of their 13 shots were blocked. And I just feel like they were almost just snatching it chances instead of just trying to be patient and open up Charleston's defense. So, I mean, we'll get into that a little bit more later. But
yeah, so why don't we start by looking at it and just maybe talk through the lineup, Ben? I know that's kind of a curveball for you. But there was definitely some changes. And, you know, I can't say that those changes led directly to the goals, because I think that would be a harsh assessment of it. But right off the bat, we saw fan favorite standout from last season, Brad Bourgeois, in for Tribbett. which is, you know, when you unsettle center back pairing, sometimes I don't think Brad was bad. Don't get me wrong. But you just hate to see that, right? You hate to see, hey, they changed the center backs up and right away we let in three. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and I think Bourgeois was actually pretty good. I thought he had a pretty solid game, but it's just, I don't know. It's a weird choice. I mean, Doyle and Tribbett had played every minute of the season so far and had conceded two goals, which is best in the USL, like East and West. I think it's tied with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and obviously Bourgeois is a good player. We saw that last year, but the center back pairing to me is probably the most important pairing on the field. They're right up there with your two center forwards. And it just seemed like a weird game to do it, to make a change like that, going on the road to a team like Charleston, who's historically really good at home. And then knowing that you're going to have games at home against Charlotte and then a U.S. Open Cup game, it just feels like you could have waited a little bit longer to make a change like that when it wasn't as tough of a game, especially on the road. I don't know. I don't know if that was the direct cause of the 3-1 loss, but it just seemed like a really strange decision from the outset.
Yeah, I don't think it was the cause again. And I mean, and like you said, I think Brad was pretty good, but it's just unfortunate. Like, no matter how you try to spin it, like at the end of the day, they changed center back pairing and it's the first game where we looked frail at the back. So it's just like, it doesn't sit well when we think about, exactly like you said, Charlotte's not, you would think, not going to be that tough of a match at home, and then an Open Cup game against an amateur side, probably.
I agree. Like League One or League Two, but still it's a worse team. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so Pickens, we've seen rotation there. I think he showed himself well. I think King actually had a good game. I think he was probably one of the better performers.
Ooh, I disagree.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We can maybe get into that into a little bit. And then Davis, we've seen rotation on that other side as well. So no big changes there. And then moving forward, pretty similar lineup to what we've been seeing lately.
Bourgeois, it was the exact same lineup that they played against Memphis.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then besides, I mean, it's been pretty consistent. I mean, King and Kamara, I mean, King came in for Kamara recently, and then kind of the rotation between Sparrow and Pickens. But I mean, it's pretty consistent to what they've played the past three or four games.
Now, let me ask you a question, Ben. A team that creates as many chances as Charleston does, a team that plays as well at home as Charleston does, to me, going in, and we talked about lineups before the match, I didn't expect to see it happen, but I think this could have been a Bolu Akinyoede game, right?
Probably. And I think, to be fair, Charleston rolled out a 3-4-3 type formation. And Gary said in his post-game comments, I mean, Nashville did not see that coming. They had been using like a 4-2-3-1, and I think Nashville kind of set out their team assuming Charleston was going to play a certain way, and Charleston just threw a curveball at them, and I feel like a lot of it was Nashville just trying to figure out how to play against them and using a completely different formation than they had planned for. And so, I mean, I don't know, I feel like Akinyoede probably would have been a safe defensive option, but just in this, I feel like a problem with this 4-4-2 that they've been running is they're already having trouble against a team that'll pin them back a little bit more. They're having trouble linking the midfield and the forward lines.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I mean,
that would have helped that.
You could have Akinyoede sit deep and push LaGrasse up almost as a 10, but then that's still leaving you outnumbered on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm not sure Akinyoede would have solved that necessarily.
Right. It maybe would have created more isolation. Maybe stagnated their attack some, but definitely wouldn't have sparked ours at the same time.
Yeah.
Probably the only other thing of note, Lancaster back on the bench and saw minutes, right?
Yeah. I mean, so he was questionable again. I think it was his third week in a row that he was questionable, but it was the first time that he had been even involved in a game day squad since he had been questionable. So, I mean, I think it was encouraging. I mean, he came on and he didn't do anything incredible. I mean, but he played the pass that set up the penalty kick there at the end. And I guess we can just hope that as he gets back to full health, it'll have the impact that we all kind of thought he would when he signed.
Yeah, absolutely. So nothing else notable there. Vinny Vermeer still working back, wasn't in the side at all. But we know he's grinding, trying to get there. So we hope he's close. All right, let's go into kind of the match as a whole, Ben. They get one pretty early, I think 13th minute, 14th minute. And I'm so sorry. Again, for me, that one a little bit against the run of play. Nashville had kind of had a hold of the game. And we had said before that this is one of those fixtures to where it's one of the things that in this league you never – it looked like it was begging for a draw. But we wanted to see Nashville kind of go out and grab this game by the scruff of the neck. And it seemed like that was happening early. But 14th minute on, the opposite happened, right? They had the upper hand from that point forward.
Yeah, I mean, so I get – and Nashville had kept a clean sheet for 229 minutes before that goal. I mean, so they a solid defensive team, and I mean, just credit to Charleston. It was a fantastic finish from Van Schaik. I don't think there are many goalkeepers in the world who stop that. Just like a half volley to the top corner. But I feel like King and Belmar both, King was way out of position and Belmar just, I think he was ball watching and just didn't even see him run in behind him. So I feel like they were, it was a great strike, but Nashville could have done more to prevent it even from even giving him the opportunity to hit the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was one of those ones where once the ball was struck, it kind of was destined to go in, but you would have liked to see more happen before that. Yeah, I think that was a good way of saying it. They took an injury there pretty early. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, like a good team, at they're not going to be unsettled by that. And so I think this was as much of it was as it wasn't a good performance for Nashville. I think it was a really, really good bounce back performance for Charleston. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like they're a kind of team. I mean, they're historically really good at home, but I feel like they also they're kind of going to play up to their opponent. And I think we as fans of Nashville just kind of think, okay, Nashville's going to be the favorite. And they should go in to whatever game it is and expect to come away with a result. And I think we're going to have to get used to the fact that a lot of other teams are going to see Nashville come in and kind of want to put in, not that they're not putting in maximum effort other performances, but they, I don't know, just kind of get up to it a little bit more.
Yeah, people
and want to put one over on the team before they go to MLS.
Comes in, you see a target on their back, you know what I mean? So
yeah, put one over on Nashville before they go to MLS next year. So I mean, credit to Charleston.
Yeah, agreed completely. So maybe another testament that the game was getting away from the team. Brad and Michael Reed both took yellows there throughout the first half. So the Bourgeois one in particular stood out to me. You know, you see a center back taking a 38th minute yellow card. It's one of those things where maybe the game's getting a little bit stretched.
Well, and just field, you know? I mean, and it was just like just a stupid yellow card. He jumped in the way of their goalkeeper as he punted the ball, which I mean, anybody who's played like even from a U8 level will tell you that's an automatic yellow card and really just like completely unnecessary. So I feel like that was probably a good sign that Nashville were getting a little bit frustrated. But yeah, I agree. Not a good sign.
From there, second half, again, we've kind of talked about it a few times. We just weren't in it. They deserved a second and they got it and moved forward. The game became more stretched as it went on. Man, I don't know. I think what you said earlier, Ben, is a really good point. The idea that the isolation for our forwards, we were just stagnant on the offensive side, and I think that kind of allowed things to get stretched out going the other way.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, so Charleston played with a back three or a back five, and they really just – I mean, they completely – took away Hume as an aerial threat and really didn't give Rios any space to work centrally. And so I think, I mean, you saw Nashville tried they attempted 32 crosses, and so I mean that's just that's usually a pretty good indicator that they just have no options through the middle, and so just dump it out wide and try to see what you can get from crossing it. And so I mean I think Charleston set up in a way that they took away Nashville's strengths, and it showed. I mean Rios, his one shot on target was the penalty kick at the end of the game, so I mean he had a couple block shots and just really no space to work with. And then, yeah, just centrally, they had absolutely nothing.
So Van Schout grabs his second really good performance for him. Would have to be your man in the match kind of all the way around the board.
Hey, I just want to go back to the second goal because I know you had mentioned King as you thought he was pretty good. And I think the second goal in a lot of ways was on him just trying to step up and play an offside trap and not even realizing that a Charleston attacker was on his back shoulder and just let him in wide open for the goal. Fair. And
No, you're right.
I think, I mean, some of that could just be he's played, this is what, his second game for the team.
Yeah, disjointed minutes, right? Yeah. We talked about it previously with, you know, there's three guys in that side who weren't, three guys in that back line who aren't necessarily the first choice at that position, right? We know Brad isn't. And then Davis rotates and King rotates. And so four guys who aren't playing together that much, something like that is bound to happen. Unfortunately, it happened at a really poor time. But I agree, King could have done more there. Okay, so Van Schaal grabs a second. And then the Rios penalty, you said Lancaster played him in. And, you know, I guess if there is a bright spot in this match, Ben, it's that Rios got his fifth of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know it was a penalty kick, but still, I mean, it's credit to him for he scored a goal, even though he had an off performance. I mean, I feel like even in he's had maybe one or two performances that I would call maybe disappointing, but even then, I feel like it was better than what it's miles better than what we saw from the forward position last season. He's a different level than what we saw in 2018. And I'm excited. I think he'll be a great piece the rest of this year and going forward into next year.
Agreed. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have a look at some of Coach Smith's quotes after the game. And then kind of just overall thoughts on where the team is this far in the season and what this loss actually means in the grand scheme of things. So we'll be right back after the break. This is Speedway Soccer.
Hey, everyone. It's Mike from BGN. Before the show starts, I wanted to quickly tell you about a very special new sponsor that we have at the network, Golden Goal Press. Now, I've intentionally been very selective about who we partner with as a network because I never want to advertise for someone that we don't think would benefit you personally. That's why Roughneck Scarves is and continues to be a great sponsor, as they've been able to outfit tons of supporters groups and organizations with amazing scarves. Golden Goal Press is unique because after researching tons of companies, we decided the best way to serve your needs directly is to create a new company that can work directly with you. Golden Goal Press helps you create custom shirts, hats, mugs, flags, literally the list of items can go on, and we do it with a unique personal touch that provides you with the best products at a fraction of the cost of other print shops online. So the next time you're looking for one custom item or hundreds, please go check out goldengoalpress.com. As always, we appreciate your support, and now on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into tonight's episode of Speedway Soccer. So, Ben, obviously, we've talked about it. We went through it kind of piece by piece earlier. Just a really, really poor result at the end of the day, right? Losing there wouldn't have been that bad, in my opinion. But the way it went down was not good. And I think Gary kind of reflected that and with what he said after the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had a couple of, I would say, really hot take quotes. One of them being, he said, I would expect as a player that anyone who played tonight should be concerned about their place in the team, which, I mean, after watching and rewatching, I think that's probably a fair assessment that there were some players who just didn't do enough out there on Saturday to warrant a start against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would agree. And there's some guys who we've kind of talked internally about that we think have maybe been on edge a little bit already. And so I would say those guys I would think would be included. So like we try to do normally in this, in our writing, in our pods, I mean, if Gary's saying that, he thinks guys should be afraid for their spot. Why don't we kind of just break down who we think are people who could potentially be injected into the starting lineup to maybe give us a spark. You want to do one, Ben, and then I'll field one after that. We'll just go back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, I think just first off, it seems pretty obvious at this point, but I feel like Rios is safe.
Yep.
And I would say he's been Nashville's most consistent performer, and probably I would say Liam Doyle too. I mean, I know they gave up 3 goals and he had a couple of poor moments, but overall he's been a solid defender, and I don't think the answer is changing up the back line even more. I don't think that would help. If anything, you need to go back to what was working.
Yeah, I would say Tribbett I would lump in with those two guys that you said, and say, like, I mean, I think it's really unfortunate for Brad that the game that he got a start in was the one that went so poorly, but I think it's going to be back to just Doyle and Tribbett in the center, and that's kind of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and there are going to be other games that he can play in, and
right.
With injuries and everything, it's great to have a guy like him come in, but I just, the way Doyle and Tribbett have played, I mean, they had given up 2 goals in the previous 5 games, so I don't think that needs to change. And then I wouldn't be surprised to see Taylor Washington come in for Justin Davis, especially, I mean, Pittsburgh is a really good defensive team, but they're not a team who's typically going to score. I mean, they typically try to grind out a 1-0 win. So I don't think Nashville has to be overly worried about conceding against them. And I think a guy like Taylor Washington could come in and give you more going forward from that left back spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that one for sure. I think the fact that we saw him play, you know, 17, 18 minutes the other day would mean Lancaster's probably close to being in the starting lineup. And I would expect to see that happen this week.
What do you think about a guy like Maloto? Do you think I know he's coming off an injury, but I think it's fair to say that he has not lived up to expectations so far. Do you think it's time for him to take a break and see what a guy like Wynn can do?
Well, yes. I mean, I do think that, right? And I think, to me, this isn't necessarily I don't necessarily blame Gary here. That position just wasn't addressed in the summer, right?
Right.
So we saw a guy who we saw pretty catastrophic injury, didn't address the position. So, I mean, I don't think Maloto's been great, but I don't necessarily think that's what Wynn or Rapapa do best. But if there was going to be a guy who you replaced him with, it would be Wynn, right?
Well, maybe. But I mean, so Maloto's been playing out on the left, which I don't think that's probably his best position. And honestly, yeah. I mean, with how Alan Wynn played in preseason and the amount of minutes, I mean, he had the third highest minutes in preseason. Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of get the feeling that he was supposed to be the guy
before
going into the season, and then got a concussion and missed the first 2 games. And then I think it's just taken a while to work back to full fitness. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they were kind of planning on having Wynn be the guy out on the left and just put Maloto out there while he was recovering.
Yeah, I mean, again, anything to spark, right? So, I mean, I think if you could get Lancaster up top with Rios and then a little bit more, I mean, we agree that Belmar's been one of the better players, right? So we would expect him to stay safe. But, yeah, I mean, anything moving forward, I would agree completely. And then probably the other one, and to me this isn't an indictment of Pickens, but I think you can say the team's performed better with Sparrow in the lineup, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't know if that's because of the goalkeeper. It might have just
been. Yeah, I don't know if that's causation, not correlation. You know what I mean? But
right.
I think that's the truth, though.
Plus, I mean, Pickens started 2 games. I don't think a keeper has started more than 2 games in a row this season. And Pickens has played the past 2. So, I mean, just based on previous rotation, it would feel like it's Sparrow's turn. What about Akinyode?
Yeah, I mean, fixture-wise for me, I think just steady as she goes, this guy's reliable, we know we can count on him, I think it's a no-brainer to put him in. I think LaGrosse has been really, really good, so to me the guy you would pull out would be Reed, and I don't know that Gary goes there. Second note I would say is fixture-wise, I don't know if this is the game for him personally. To me, this would be a game where you would hope to get forward more against a team who you think is going to bunker in. And I don't know. So, I mean, you know, I love the guy and I think he brings a lot to the table. I just don't know that I expect that one this week.
Yeah. I mean, so I get that. And I kind of agree with you, but I think it could, so you could go that way where you put two guys who get forward more, or you could replace probably Reed with Akinyode and just have him sit back and just let LaGrosse push up a lot more than he would normally. And so, I mean, instead of having kind of two guys rotating, you would just have one guy pushing forward all the time, knowing that Akinyode is sitting back. And then if that works out, it's not a bad idea to put a guy like Akinyode in against Tampa, who have been one of the better attacking teams so far. So, I mean, I could kind of see them doing either, but I don't think Reed, especially, I mean, he didn't have a fantastic game on Saturday, but I feel like Nashville needs more from central midfield, and that just may be a lack of a really creative midfielder, or maybe injuries to a guy like Vinny Vermeer, who may have been brought in to kind of be that player, but they don't have enough going forward from central midfield, and maybe pushing LaGrosse forward is the answer to that, but I think it honestly may just be the type of thing that you need to wait until the summer transfer window and see who you can bring in
and address it. Yeah, no, I think that's fair, but I think there's probably something to that. If you put Akinyode in there and he's just a straight holder, it allows LaGrosse to commit forward, and maybe it's you know, just the dedicated space forward there opens things up more than having two guys going forward halfway, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's probably something to that. So all that being said, I mean, the guy, Coach Smith, comes in after the match and says, hey, guys probably need to be looking for it. I mean, we just named four or five guys right there who I think, not that they're out and out better than the guy who played in front of them this weekend, but there's plenty of change to be made there, half of which he's already done throughout the season. So
watch for that lineup dropping Saturday evening. It could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be very interesting. So all that to say, what does this result mean in the grand scheme of things? Obviously it's not good, it's poor. It's a fixture that which we got a draw in last year that we have regressed upon, which no one likes to see. All that being said, still very, very early in a season, in a result in which we were really hoping to get I think getting a point would have been a good result, and we took zero. So not the end of the world, right?
Yeah, not the end of the world. I think they probably weren't expecting to give up three goals in a game all season. But I think it was, I don't think we have to be worried that, okay, Nashville's defense is awful now. I think it was more just a couple individual mistakes. And I think hopefully going forward, we should see more of that same defense that we saw the first five games.
Some tough fixtures on the way, Ben. I know you put out a new edition of your power rankings. You want to go through that?
Yeah, I mean, so part of the fluctuation is just the teams haven't played a ton of games. So as the season goes on more, it'll kind of even out. Nashville was in first last week. They dropped to sixth after losing to Charleston, and Charleston goes up to third. Go to Pittsburgh this weekend, who are currently at eighth. They just drew 0-0 against St. Louis in Pittsburgh, which, I mean, St. Louis is good, but it's not like they're a fantastic attacking team. So I'm not sure that we can take a ton from that result, but Pittsburgh is definitely going to defend first. And then after Pittsburgh, Nashville goes to Atlanta, who I currently have in 10th. And then after that, they host Tampa Bay, who are currently in second and one of the better attacking teams in the USL. So I think that game, it's, what is it, May 8th?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the nationally televised game against Tampa Bay. That's going to be a really good indicator of where Nashville SC actually is, because I think Tampa is pushing. I mean, at this point, they're going to be pushing for the top spot in the East.
Yeah, that's a midweek game, too, at a point where we're starting to get busy in the season, you know? So it'll be interesting to see, I think, how we kind of come out there with the fixture starting to stack up. But that's when you start to kind of figure out who people are. So I'm excited to get there. All in all, it's not what anybody wanted to see, but I think performances from guys like Rios, and then knowing that there were some pretty significant changes, we got a guy like Lancaster coming back healthy. I think there's reasons to remain positive. Ben, anything, final thoughts you want to offer as we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I just kind of echoing what you said. It was a frustrating game. I don't think we have to be majorly concerned. If it continues, then we can talk. But I don't expect it will. I think we'll see some changes and hopefully a much better performance against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and say what you want about it being a bad result, all that stuff. For me, when the coach comes out and reacts the way he does to it, they know internally it was a bad result and they know that it's not acceptable. So if it's not acceptable to them, then that means changes are going to be made and hopefully things will get going in the right direction. Or like you said, then everybody's got a thing to worry about. So Ben, thanks for hopping on tonight, man. This has been Speedway Soccer Pod. Thanks to our sponsors, Golden Goal Press. They're the best choice for you to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or your organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price of other places. That's goldengoalpress.com. And also thanks to Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for you, for your group, your team, whatever it might be at roughneckscarves.com. They'll hook you guys up. As always, thanks so much for listening. This is Ben and Davey. We love doing this. We're glad to have you here. It's Speedway Soccer Pod. We'll see you later on in the week.